Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
Hello, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America. Great to be with you. You know, I was at the America First Policy Institute. I want to say something about that. I want to show you a glorious clip of the what happened with President Trump in New York, showing again a sign of his great support. I want to talk to you about another race that has moved closer to us for the U.S. Senate. In fact, has moved into the toss-up column rather than lean Democrat. And some other news here in regard to the House of Representatives. All of this very important. Now, I don't know if you listen to like motivational speakers, coach, life coaches, you know, coaches about success. But one of the things you often hear from folks like that who talk about how to be successful is your success is going to be predicted very much by your mindset. Makes a lot of sense. How we think affects how we decide, how we feel, how much energy we have. How we think is critically important. That's why Scripture says, bring every thought into captivity to Christ. Well, I want to pray tonight. We always take start off with a passage from the Word of God. And, you know, when we pray, we're forming a mindset also. And there are great prayers of victory in the Scriptures. I want to recommend to you that as you pray in the midst of this tumultuous, and I believe it's going to get even more tumultuous election season, that we pray prayers of victory. I'm going to go tonight to Exodus 15, when the Israelites had experienced the tremendous victory over the Egyptians, and they had been not only set free from Egypt, but set free then from Pharaoh and his army, who decided after they had let them go to go get them back. And they were between the army on one side and the Red Sea on the other, how God did another miracle and through the obedient leadership of Moses brought them dry shod through the sea. And then they're on the other side and then they have this victory song. See, so what I want to do here tonight is pray from the Word of God, the victory song. I want to ask you that, let it resonate within you. It's like a prophecy. You know, these victory prayers is not only the history of what happened then, but we can pray it as a prophecy of us overcoming our enemies, symbolized by Pharaoh and the Egyptians, us overcoming the slavery that America is subject to right now, and that threatens America even more, a slavery of tyranny, of destruction. Let's pray the prayer of victory. So we get our minds in the right place, and that'll energize our efforts to win these elections. Book of Exodus, chapter 15. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my savior. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew your wind, the sea covered them. Like lead they sank in the mighty waters. Who is you, like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you've redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy dwelling. The peoples have heard. They tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. Because of the greatness of your arm, they are still as a stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by. Till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. The mountain you have made for your own abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. And let us pray.
Father, we are people of
we are people who have been formed through the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over sin and death. And Lord God, you lead your people to victory over sin and death and falsehood and injustice in every generation. We are no different. We have inherited many victories here in America. And Lord, now we celebrate prophetically yet another one. We will resist and push back the enemies that now threaten America. We will do so in the very strength of your word and the salvation history that already is in our scriptures and in our memories. Lord God, it is time for these victories to once again unfold in our day, in our nation, among our people. So give us that mindset of victory always. Let us be singing even in advance, even while we are still battling, let us be singing victory songs. Not songs, Lord, that blind us to the challenges of the moment, but precisely that strengthen us for the challenges of the moment. Bless and unite your people. Fill us with the Spirit. Bring us the victories we need in this nation, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, yes, victories we need. The House of Representatives is in bad shape, and this is now coming up before this week is out, the retirement of Representative Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin. And, you know, this has caused quite a bit of anger and disappointment, not just in the sense of, such a small majority, Republican members retiring, because he's not the only one. We all saw Ken Buck, and there are others. But the timing of this, why in the world would he want to leave his seat empty? You've heard this, I presume. Some of you perhaps have not. That had he chosen to retire prior to April 9th, not that many days ago, then Wisconsin, according to Wisconsin law, because remember, state law controls how elections are handled in that state. According to Wisconsin law, there could have been a special election to fill his seat now going forward to the end of this particular Congress. But no, he waited till that deadline passed. It was unaware of the deadline. Waited till that deadline passed. So now, there can't be a special election. The seat remains vacant. Republicans lose another vote. What's going on here? These rhinos are trying to hurt the party and its agenda. He's not seeking. We mentioned Buck already. Ken Buck is also not seeking re-election and resigned already. With Gallagher's departure, the majority shrinks further to 217 to 213. Now, that makes it sound like you have a margin of four votes. But it means actually, in reality, the Republicans can afford only one defection on any kind of party line vote. It was something that they want to pass that the, if the Democrats all oppose it, they can only afford one Republican to vote with the Democrats. Why? Because 217 to 213, if you take one away, you've got one that votes with the Democrats, you've got 216 to 214. But if you take two, you end up having a tie, right? Because then it's 215 to 215. You see how that works? Because it sounds like it's a four-vote majority. But in an actual vote, if you've got a party line split and all the Democrats stick together, and as often happens, we see a handful of Republicans going over, sometimes more than a handful, depending on what the vote is, rhinos voting with the Democrats. So two defections means 217 changes to 215 on the Republican vote side, and 213 on the Democrat side changes to 215, meaning you have a tie. So you can only afford a single defection. That's a really, it doesn't get any tighter than that. But this idea I really find annoying is, why couldn't you just, knowing Wisconsin law, leave in time for the law to permit a special election to fill your seat? Now, I'm not going to read anybody's mind, but you know, we know that there are traitors among us, and we know that there is a lot of garbage going on where people who have the R after their name, in some cases, do not want to see the agenda that you and I are behind passed in the House of Representatives, do not want to see even President Trump being elected. And there's a few different things that would be at stake here. If the House, even before the end of this Congress, were to shift to Democrat control, because, you know, when you're talking about such a slim majority, you know, any number of things can happen. Sickness, death, other defections. You're so close. And votes. Republicans voting with the Democrats, even if everybody who's present and accounted for remains present and accounted for. What does the House do that some of these Republicans in name only might want to stop? Well, first of all, the House has oversight. It investigates all the investigations into the Biden crime family and Hunter Biden and all the misdeeds of the Democrats over recent years. If the Democrats got control of the House, these investigations would stop. As a matter of fact, they launched their own investigations against our side. Secondly, legislation. Now, brothers and sisters, we all saw the victory and we commented on it here, both as it was approaching and then once it unfolded, in regard to the efforts to take President Trump's name off the ballot using the clause of the Constitution that says those guilty of insurrection cannot hold public office in the United States. Now, first of all, there's controversy over whether that applies to the presidency because the president's name isn't mentioned. The word president, the office, isn't mentioned in that particular clause of the Constitution. And secondly, insurrection. He hasn't even been charged, much less convicted of insurrection, even though the other side likes to use it as a talking point. It's not actually the reality. So you got those problems. But essentially, the court decided, this went to the Supreme Court, and they said, look, it's not the role of a state to throw a presidential candidate's name off the ballot. That was the narrow way in which they decided that case, leaving still open the other questions. In other words, okay, it's not the role of the state, but what about the role of Congress? What if Congress passes a law saying you can't be on the presidential ballot if you're guilty of insurrection? Or phrase the law, in other words, phrase the law, Democrats will phrase it in whatever way would keep President Trump off the ballot. And then you have all of a sudden the reemergence of a problem that in many ways has been already resolved. Democrats get in charge of, they already are, have a majority in the Senate. They, by some mechanism, and the threats are there, the danger is there, get control again in the House, and you have a Speaker, Hakeem Jeffries, disgrace that he is, then you got a problem here. Although, of course, in the Senate, now it's hard to get something past the Senate when you've got the filibuster, but don't put it past the realm of possibility. And then you've got another issue here. What if, and this could happen, the presidential race ends up going to the House of Representatives? That would happen in what case? How would the presidential election end up having to be decided by the House of Representatives in the case that neither candidate gets 270 electoral votes? You need 270 to win. There are various scenarios that could unfold. And some of this ties in with what we already told you about Nebraska. We'll get you an update about that in the coming days. But Nebraska changing, again, how elections are done in the states is up to the state legislatures. We want to urge the Nebraska state legislators and the governor to make the change so that Nebraska awards all its electoral votes, there are five of them, to the winner of the popular vote in the state, rather than dividing them by congressional district, because you've got that one congressional district in Omaha that goes Democrat while the rest of the state goes Republican. Change it, because that's like a guaranteed electoral vote for one way or the other. You keep the system the way it is right now, it's a guaranteed Democrat electoral vote. You change the system, it's a guaranteed Republican one. And it's like 48 other states do it that way, where the all, winner takes all in the, on the state level. If you haven't communicated with, if you're a Nebraskan, if you haven't communicated with your governor or your state legislator, please do so right away. And that legislative session is wrapping up, but they could call a special session. Okay. Why am I saying all this? Because if the House is under Democrat control, now the vote, well, the way it works is that the vote is not by individual member. It's by delegation, state delegation. But the danger is with the Democrats in control, what's going to happen? Anything can happen. And that's the day. We don't want the House under Democrat control if it ends up happening that the House has to decide the presidential race. All right. So that's all. Rhinos have never been more of a problem. They've never been more of a problem than I've never talked more about them than I have of late, because it's clear that they're more and more of a problem. Okay. President Trump in New York. Okay, this sham, ridiculous election interference, weaponization of government, clown show, and Alvin Bragg, disgraceful human being, just a dark blotch. Alvin Bragg and all these people working in conjunction with him, and all these Fannie Willis and Jack Smith and all these people are a blotch on American history. Let's just put it that way very clearly. History will show a big black blotch when those names appear. What a disgrace these people are. The way they're interfering with, trying to steal elections, weaponizing government, and causing now, in this New York trial, 6 to 8 weeks of talking about nonsensical things. Nonsensical things. Stormy Daniels, payment of hush money, no laws were broken. You're talking about a bookkeeping thing and a misdemeanor whose statute of limitations already passed, and which both New York and a federal prosecutors were unwilling to deal with, found no federal election commission finding no need to deal with it. And Alvin Bragg now tries to bootstrap an expired misdemeanor with a felony. And who the heck is he? This guy and those working with him, these people are a disgrace. And brothers and sisters, 6 to 8 weeks of talking about this stuff when we've got international conflicts going on, when we've got an invasion of the United States going on, when we've got an economy in distress, when we've got so many issues to deal with and for voters to focus on that matter in this election and that the next president can do something about, and you want to drag people through this nonsense in the courtroom? I want to show you a clip. Did you see this? It's been circulating around, but I want to show it to you. In Harlem, what do you think the political leanings are there, right? And look at the reception that President Trump gets when he's there for his court appearance. Let's take a look.
I love you, Trump! I love you, Trump! We love Trump!
We love Trump!
I love you, Trump!
We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump!
Deep blue New York City. There, I'd like to see Biden try to pull that off in a red city, in a red state. Even in blue states, he'd get booed. This wasn't a pre-selected group of people. These are people who showed up to show their support for President Trump in New York City. It's amazing. It's sort of like where we started off tonight, you know, praying with the mindset of victory. That's the sound of victory right there. The love. See the word that's being used. Remember in the campaign last time around, something unprecedented in American presidential politics started happening at the Trump rallies. The chant, not just the chant, four more years. That's been around for quite a while. But we love you. Because President Trump loves the American people. That's what drives him to do the things he does, sacrifice the way that he sacrifices, and be with the people in the way that he is. And that was just beautiful to see. New York City. Okay, one other thing, and then we'll pray over all this news. Nevada is one of the states key not only to the presidential race this year, but to the U.S. Senate races, all right? We have a good chance of taking back the Senate. And there are various states that are key for that to happen, Nevada being one of them. Now, I want to just share with you an article that was recently in a source that I hope you use. I use it frequently to keep on top of political trends, and that is the Cook Political Report. Very reasonable subscription fee. There are some articles you can get for without charge, but reasonable subscription. Cook Political, cookpolitical.com. In tightening presidential battleground, Nevada Senate moves to toss up. All right, so they have had a number of the Senate races. There are certain key states that are significant for the Senate. We've reviewed it in here in this program. And there are certain ones that they've had in the toss-up category for a long time, like Ohio, Montana, and Arizona. Now they're putting Nevada into the toss-up category. This is as opposed to lean Democrat, right? You know, this solid, likely, lean, toss-up, solid, likely, lean. So you've got these different categorizations of the race, right? Depending on which way it seems to be going by the polling and other dynamics in the race. So now let me see if I can summarize for you a couple of the key points that this article makes. So the Nevada Democrat is Senator Jackie Rosen. Okay. I think these Senate Democrats, they're all disasters. Okay, let's just put that right out there. They're all disasters. Not a single one of them should be in office. The Nevada shift, they say, might be a bit surprising because Nevada is the only one of the swing states that Democrats carried both in 2016 and 2020 at the presidential level, and Republicans haven't won a statewide federal race there since 2012. But now, this is in the category of toss-up. Probably among the toss-ups, the hardest one, but nevertheless, toss-up. Now remember, the last Senate race there in 2022 was the closest in the country. The closest. You had Catherine Cortez Masto prevailing, but by how much? This was, remember, the Republican candidate was Adam Laxalt. By just under 8,000 votes. That's a close race. And then also last time around, 2 years ago, Nevada was the only state where the incumbent governor lost re-election, and Republican Clark County Sheriff Joe Lombardo ousted the Democrat Steve Sisolak. Okay. Targeting early voters, targeting absentee voters was part of his strategy, and which is something that we have to repeat. One thing about Nebraska, high voter turnover. In other words, every election cycle, a quarter of the voters in Nevada end up being new voters. A quarter, that's quite a bit. So this is one of the dynamics that Nevadans are dealing with. And then you have the fact that, again, the polling is close here with Army veteran Sam Brown being the likely nominee. I know there are other candidates as well. Some things about Brown. He has an appealing and heroic story. Grew up in a military family, graduated from West Point, deployed to Afghanistan in 2008. And just 65 days after he arrived, the Humvee he was riding in was hit by one of these IEDs, improvised explosive devices. His body caught fire, but he was saved by a fellow soldier who put out the fire with sand. 30% of his body had third-degree burns. His face was disfigured, and he was later awarded a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star. He has run for office before, twice, and he ran in the primary last time against Adam Laxalt. He took 34% of the vote. And he has been running to, as far as his positions, to the right of Laxalt, who almost won last time around. The issue of abortion, which I deal with, came up, and he and his wife Amy actually gave an interview to NBC News about an abortion that she had before the two of them met. So sort of like saying, hey, listen, we understand the circumstances that people are in, who people are in when they face this kind of a decision and so forth. But he's not, you know, again, there's a big contrast here between him and the position that Democrats take, which is abortion without any limit, without any apology. Oh, this is great. You know, take away all the restrictions. The American people don't want that. And that's what pro-life candidates, that's what Republican candidates are doing, and they should do, is point out that contrast. Wherever they might want to draw the line in terms of how abortion should be regulated or limited, you can be sure it's pushing in the direction of less abortion as opposed to the Democrats' open abortion policy, which would lead to more abortions. That's why I often say, hey, the choice in this election is you want more or you want less when it comes to abortion. Well, what's better for America? More abortions? That's what the Democrats are going to give you. Or less abortions? That's what the Republicans are going to give you. Okay? He committed, for example, to support pro-life judges, because that'll be part of the Senate's role, right? It always is part of the Senate's role to confirm the judges that are nominated by the president. So the polling shows a margin of error race. Now, in Nevada, we also have to look at the dynamic of President Trump's popularity. Every poll this year shows him ahead in Nevada with an even wider lead when you put multiple candidates in the race. And Nevada is one of those states that has an option on the ballot of none of the above. None of the above. And that could actually be something that the presence of that on the ballot can actually be something that makes a difference. Wall Street Journal poll released just last last Wednesday. This article came out at the beginning of the month. So it released at the beginning of the month. Wall Street Journal poll had President Trump 4 points ahead of Biden there in the state of Nevada. And of course, what influence will the presidential race have on the Senate race? It can have a significant influence in as much as Trump voters vote down ticket in the Republican way, which of course is very important for us to emphasize. Remember, President Trump attracts a lot of unlikely voters. So people who are coming out for him, remind them, and I remind you, Don't just vote for President Trump and then leave the rest blank. Even if you're not familiar with who's who, vote Republican up and down the ticket, and we're going to get the Senate back. And that's the update from Nevada. Let's pray over all these things. Lord, we pray for the state of Nevada, voters there, the candidates. Lord, Rob, we pray that the dynamics there continue to move in our direction. We pray that right now. We ask you to give wisdom to the voters, Lord. Strengthen the Trump supporters. Make them supporters also. Up and down the ticket of those who would work to make America great again. Lord, we pray over this trial taking place in New York. We ask for... Lord God, we ask your hand to intervene and put a stop to this nonsense. We have better things to focus on in the next 6 to 8 weeks than this trial over nonsense, just nonsense. And we ask you, Lord, to the extent that it does continue, give the voters the wisdom to see through it all and to see on full display exactly what President Trump is warning us against: election interference, weaponization of government, exactly the kind of thing that the American people reject. So that, Lord, in your providence, here's what we pray right now, that what the enemy meant for evil, God turns around for good. In other words, that as they try to keep President Trump off the campaign trail, they know that these charges are meaningless. They know that this is nonsense legally. But Lord God, they don't care, because all they want to do is keep him off the campaign trail. And Lord, turn it around on them so that not only because of the commentary that he makes reaching the voters, but Lord, because the trial itself becomes a confirmation of a key campaign message that America's system of government is being hijacked and weaponized, and that this is not America. So that the very thing people see as the other side tries to keep him off the campaign trail reinforces his campaign message and makes people all the more ready to support him. Let it boomerang on them, Lord God. Let it turn around with full force and leave the enemy in confusion and farther away from their goal than they would have been before. And finally, Lord, we pray for the House of Representatives. Do not let it fall into Democrat hands and the circus of sham investigations that would occur and legislation that would try to keep President Trump off the ballot. And Lord God, please deliver us from those who are, although they are on the Republican side of the aisle, do not buy into the vision that we have of a great America and how to get there. Deliver us from them. Strengthen the leadership that we have in the House. Fill it with your spirit. Fill that house with your spirit now as we pray as the people of God. Lead us in the direction we need to go. We sum up all our prayers and praises by offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, friends, for joining me. Connect with me on social media. Remember, at FR Frank Pavone, starting with Truth Social and all the other platforms. At FR Frank Pavone, let's stay connected. We've got to encourage each other, share information, win these elections to make America great again. Thank you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priest for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.